Welcome to the Discover You podcast with your host, James Hooper, spiritual and personal discovery author, speaker, teacher, and coach. James helps you find who you were created to be and guides you to the most fulfilling life you can experience. On this podcast, we'll guide you through discovering what energizes and motivates you, why you think the way you think, act the way you act, and react the way you react. We'll learn together how to grow through spiritual truths to become the best version of yourself possible. If you haven't yet, please subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Also, you can go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a review and rating. This will help others find us so they can begin their own growth journey.
The episode you're about to hear is previously been released. I wanted to replay these episodes to kind of give us a refresher on the motivational gifts, the whole reason I started this podcast. Now, you'll hear in some of the episodes that I'm working on a book that I plan on releasing soon. Well, of course, I've already released that book, so you can go to discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com, and you can download the first chapter of the book. You can actually click a link. It'll take you to Amazon. You can order the book. Also, there is a link that you can click to download the 70-question assessment so you can see where each motivational gift lies inside of you. Now, I hope you enjoy these repeat episodes, and I plan on coming out with some new ones coming in a few weeks.
Welcome to Episode 5 of the Discover You podcast. This is James Hooper, your host, and I'm excited to come to you again today and to discover yourself and to find out what you're all about and learn your motivations. Hopefully by now you've found the link to the assessment that's in the description box to the podcast. If you'll go to the just to your podcast app and look at the description box, there'll be a link there that you can either click or copy and paste into your browser, and that'll give you access to a PDF that you can download and print and take the assessment. That's an invaluable tool for you to have so you can learn what each one of these gifts, where they fall in order for you, and what the top two or three are, so those are your strong ones. It'll give you a little more idea and give you a snapshot of who you are, where you are. Again, when you take the assessment, in the instructions, it says to be honest and be, you know, not honest, but be, you know, upfront, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just answer them as they need to be answered, how you would really answer them. Because when I first took it, I thought, man, I'm a bad person for answering this the way I want to answer it, the way I really think. But, you know, just answer it to the best of your ability, not trying to see what you can be like, but see how you are. And then we can go from there. All right. So this week we're moving on to the next gift. And the next motivation gift we're talking about is the gift of teaching. Now, again, I'm going to go back to the original Greek for this word. And the reason I do that is because I get most of this, I get all this from the Bible, actually, Romans chapter 12. But I just wanted to give you some etymology of the word, what it really means. So the Greek word for teaching is didaskon, D-I-D-A-S-K-O-N, didaskon. And it means to instruct, to clarify, elucidate, illuminate, to simplify, and to illustrate for the sake of communication and understanding. I'm going to say that again. It means to instruct, clarify, elucidate, everybody get your dictionaries, illuminate, simplify, and to illustrate for the sake of communication and understanding. So the definition of teaching we use in this study is the extraordinary ability to discern, analyze, and deliver information and truth so that others will learn. See, the Greek word didaskon implies one who is teaching and does not, as such, refer to the position of teacher. We're all teachers on some level. So just because you have the motivational gift of teaching does not mean you're automatically a teacher, you know, filling the position, whether it's in a school or in a ministry or what have you. It's just that you love to gather information and you love sharing the information and you love making it in a clear, understandable manner. So this gift goes into the category of doing. Remember, we have the speaking categories and the doing categories. And so teaching is part of the doing category. The gift of teaching uses sound, rational, and instructive reasoning to convince and help others learn. This is my number one gift. I've talked about that in previous episodes, that this is my number one gift. Back in 1993, when I took the assessment, it was number three. So it's perceiving was number one, leading was number two, and teaching was number three. But when I took it again just months ago, at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018, I took it again, and I still had the same top three. However, teaching had actually moved up to number one, and then perceiving, then leading. And so the reason why, and this is going to be helpful to you, the reason why teaching moved to the top, it was part of my top three. So it was one of my strong gifts, but I had never delved into that. I had never ventured into teaching. Now, I've always been an information gatherer. I'm an information junkie. I love learning things, and it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, useless stuff is okay with me. And in fact, let me share the most useless piece of information that you can amaze people with. If you're in downtown El Paso, Texas, if you're standing in downtown El Paso, Texas, you're actually 30 miles closer to downtown Los Angeles than you are downtown Texarkana, Texas. So if you're in downtown El Paso, Texas, you're 30 miles closer to downtown Los Angeles, California, than you are Texarkana, Texas. That's how big Texas is. So now you can wow and amaze your friends with that information. So see, I just love information. I love knowledge. It doesn't have to be useful knowledge. I just love learning things. I love to scan blogs. I love to read things. I love to watch videos. I love reading books. I mean, I read all the time. I always have at least one or two books going at one time. I do my normal Bible reading in the morning. I've got a reading plan that I read the Bible through in a year, every year. And so I've got a reading plan and I do that first. And then if something, you know, kind of piques my interest while I'm reading, or something, you know, kind of jumps up and it's kind of interesting, I'll actually go through it and copy and paste that scripture into my notes app. And then, you know, if I've got any kind of thoughts on it and comments on it, and I put it into a note form so that I have it there, I capture it. And then once I do that, if I don't get lost in delving into that, into, you know, expanding that thought, then I'll move on to reading, and I'll read the books that I'm actually doing. I'll read a chapter or so, unless it's just really speaking to me and I'm just really loving the book, I'll just usually read one chapter at a time. And when I read, I learned this from John Maxwell. When I read, I have a pen and a highlighter. And so as I read, statements that jump out to me, I highlight them. And if there's a specific word or phrase in that statement, I'll actually underline the word or phrase. And when I get through reading the book, then I actually go back and I go chapter by chapter, and I create a note for each chapter, and I type up the highlighted portions. So I have access to all those quotes, all those statements, all those things. I have them in my note app. And I use Evernote. This is not an endorsement for Evernote. If they want to pay me, I would gladly take it. But this is something I've used, and it's just such an awesome tool because it's accessible on my iPad, on my computer, on my phone, wherever I go, on my desktop. I have it always with me. And so I always have notes there. So I always take when I finish the book, I go back and type up the highlighted notes, and he has his assistant do it. I don't have an assistant. My lovely wife works a job, so she can't really do that stuff for me. So I do it myself. Anyway, so I'm just learning stuff. I love learning stuff. But the key thing is, and I've talked about this before, the key thing is when I learn something, I have to tell somebody. And my poor wife, I'm constantly interrupting her time and stuff like that. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. Or I begin to think about who would benefit from knowing this. Who do I know that could know this? And so I'll either have one specific person in mind, or actually I'll just go on and do a Facebook Live, or I'll do something just so I can share the information. I'm not trying to show them how brainy I am, how intellectual I am, how smart I am. I'm trying to disseminate that information because I think it's something that you know, spoke to me, and it's got to speak to someone else. It's got to be beneficial to someone else. So that's a person with the gift of teacher. And so so the reason why I moved, the teaching moved from number three to number one is because I spent nearly 3 years pastoring a church, week in, week out, preaching sermons, basically teaching and preaching and instructing people for nearly 3 years. I did that. And so exercising that gift actually made it stronger in my gift sets than it was before. Even though it was in the top three, it was still one of my strongest ones, but it switched places. It moved to the top because of the fact that I did it. Then that is how I discovered that this is what I want to do. This is my destiny. This is my calling. This is who I am. And then I began to start making decisions, life decisions, based on fulfilling my calling. I've had opportunity after opportunity to do other things, but until I feel like I've fulfilled my calling to the fullest extent, this is what I'm to do. Now, there may be other things I do to help generate income or things like that, because I love doing multiple things. I'm what you call a multi-potentialite. In other words, I like doing a lot of different things, and I'm not weird for that. You know, there are a lot of people that do that, that have multiple interests. They can't just focus on one thing because their interest is so varied. Leonardo da Vinci is a prime example of a multi-potentialite. In other words, he was in science, he was in art, he was in architecture, he was in all kinds of things. He just loved doing so many different things. And you can't say he wasn't good at multiple things, because he was pretty good at a lot of different things. So anyway, so that's what I do. So that's why teaching is my number one. Here's a note that I've got. People with the gift of teaching are consummate debaters. It's how they convince and help others to learn. It doesn't matter if they are in the office or at home. People with the gift of teaching are constantly thinking on their feet. This is something I do constantly. I'm always thinking. My brain is always active, always engaged. I'm always thinking, analyzing. I analyze everything. You know, I'll hear a statement, and all of a sudden I'll think, I wonder where that came from. Where did that, you know, I don't just, okay, it just went in and out of my head, but it just hits me. Where did that come from? What's the etymology of that? What's, you know, the history of that statement? Why is it so effective? Why does it mean that? And, you know, my poor wife, she says, you just wear me out. You think way too much. She said, you got to give your brain a rest. Well, that's just how I do. I thrive on thinking all the time and thinking on my feet. And I am a debater. I will debate you. We don't take anything at face value, and we can appear to be argumentative. That's just an appearance. We're not really argumentative. I'm kind of being facetious, you know. Can appear argumentative while they're simply trying to gain further understanding. We just want to get to the root of it. We want to understand fully. We're not okay with just having surface knowledge of anything, really. We want to know as much as we can about everything. Now, this is a strong suit, what I'm about to mention. It's a strong suit, something that I have been blessed to have. We have the ability to synthesize ideas, which results in a constant mental flow of information. In other words, since our mind is always running and exploring new concepts, we tend to be self-motivated and self-starters. See, people with this gift of teaching need intellectual stimulation. I get bored easily if I'm not stimulated mentally. I can't just sit and turn off my mind. I can sit and be out in nature and, you know, enjoying outside, but I've got to be stimulating my mind somehow. So routine tasks, we can get bored with them easily, but we learn to love to learn and keep our minds busy. So usually teachers enjoy research and love the opportunity to share something they've learned. Now, this is, again, remember, all these statements are general statements. They're not, you know, this is concretely who you have to be if you have the gift. These are just, you know, general statements. Some of them don't even apply to me. I don't really enjoy research, really. I mean, I can research for a short period of time, but I think it's because of my attention span. I think it's because I get distracted easily. I love learning things, and I'm learning as much as I can, and sometimes I'll do research, but the thing is I can't stay on one track for a long time. I'll get off track easily. But that's how I learn so many different things, is because I'll get off track and one thing will lead me to a different direction rather than still focusing on that. So some of us learn to love to research, and then we love the opportunity to share. Depending on the other dominant gifts working in a teacher's life, we tend to be talkative people when it comes to explaining beliefs or ideas. So I'm an introvert. I'm very much an introvert. I don't relish conversations that much unless we're really close. As you learned in the perceiving gift, I've got very few friends, but the friends I do have, I love to talk with them. But when it comes to talking to strangers, it's work. It's really hard work. And however, if you ask me about something I know, I could go on forever. And so that's just kind of part of being having the teaching gift. So we have they also have the ability to make difficult concepts easy to understand. Our motivation is to help others learn and grow in understanding, skill, and competency. We want other people to know what we know. It's a thing that we want to share our knowledge. We don't want to learn things just to learn things, because it's useless to have stuff in your brain that you don't share. Again, I'm going by notes here, that stuff I've gathered. So when I'm saying some of these statements, don't think I'm talking about myself per se. This next note says teachers tend to be gifted intellectually and often seek to become experts in their field or subject areas. That's again, a generalized statement. I'm not going to say I'm intellectual or not. I'm not going to demean myself, but I'm not going to try to make you think I'm super smart. But I believe I'm fairly intellectual. I have been told I'm intellectual. But as far as becoming an expert in the field, yes and no. I want to know as much as I can about it. But if I have to spend a whole lot of time learning about it, then, I kind of get lost. So I try to get other sources. I try to get other ways of learning things, different pattern, different ways. Their analytical skills often push them toward the higher level math and sciences, not me. The ability to see patterns of behavior in situations allows them to diagnose or expose problems that others do not see. That is so me, because I analyze everything I look into, and I can see patterns and I can see things. Often teachers are sought out for this wisdom and finding themselves giving advice to others on a regular basis. So we're usually sought out for our advice because of the fact that we're very observant, and we see patterns in things. We see how things are happening. And this went along with my perceiving gift. And so that's kind of a good strength of a teacher. So when we're talking about the parts of the body that each gift is associated with or affiliated with or recognized as, we are the ears of the body. The ears of the body, we hear. We're motivated to search out and clarify truth, to validate facts that are presented. I cannot stand when people misquote things, and I'll talk about this again later, but maybe not, since I'm talking about it now. But it just really, it's so funny, I've told my wife, in the movies, there are what they call continuity experts, or I don't know exactly what their title is, but what they do is when they're shooting scenes, they'll analyze the scene that they just shot, and then they come back the next day to shoot that, the rest of that scene. But they look and see everything in that scene. Where is the flower vase? Where is the telephone positioned? Where is, where everything is? And I have this ability to be able to see. I think that's part of my perceiving thing. And again, I can only tell you about me. I think it's part of the perceiving gift that I have. But I can see when things are out of place, and I can see when there's continuity. So we have to make sure that things are accurate. We're motivated to explain inaccuracy of statements made or conclusions presented, especially when someone, I'll finish my thought, I cannot stand it when people misquote statements because they're inaccurate. They may have the spirit of the statement, especially like a scripture. If somebody's quoting a scripture, they may have the essence of the scripture, but because of that teacher thing inside of me, if they don't quote it verbatim, then it's like it just kind of bugs me. I've learned to deal with it. I've learned because I've gotten mature and I've gotten older and learned that it's not a big deal. I just have to deal with it on the inside of me. But, you know, my poor wife, you guys need to just really pray for her because she has to live with me. I'm constantly correcting her, constantly. And I do it before I even think. And so I'm not going to get into marriage counseling here. But anyway, it's just one of the things that inaccuracy of statements and conclusions. Now, the teacher wants to present the truth in a systematic sequence. This is typically in the sequence that they learned it, is how they want to present it, which is interesting because, you know, whether you learn them, if it's irrelevant what sequence you learn things in, but the teacher thinks you have to do it in the same sequence because that's how they learned it. We like to speak to the level of the understanding of others. In other words, we like to connect with the group because we understand that when we connect with them on their level of understanding, on their where they are in life, where they are regionally, that sort of thing. I had to learn to do this when I was in South Africa, speaking in South Africa. I had to learn to kind of change my statements and alter my statements, not change what they meant, but change how I present in my presentation to where they could understand it, where some of the American colloquialisms that work here don't work there. And so I had to really think hard. And it was really, luckily, you know, a couple of the guys I use as interpreters, they're very westernized. In fact, my friend Jeremiah actually graduated from a Bible college here in the States and he comes here at least twice a year. And so he spent quite a bit of time here. So he understands a lot of the colloquialisms and he can translate that, interpret when we're speaking. But if you have someone that doesn't understand, like I had one interpreter that just because they had him interpret, but just because he knew English. Well, if you don't understand a lot of what biblical language is and what, you know, a lot of the statements that we make, a lot of things that we say in Christian speaking, and I tried to make it as plainly as possible, but there's still just things that you have to say that you couldn't figure out how to say it. And so they were constantly having to feed him what to say. And I'm thinking, if y'all know what y'all understand what I'm saying in English, why and is he interpreting for me? But I mean, it's a hard road to hoe when you don't have someone that can actually interpret for you. But anyway, we like to do that. Our motivation, we're motivated to research the facts, the history, research new ideas and details, and then we like to impart instruction and communicate knowledge. We love to impart information. I just love to share information. That's why I'm doing this podcast. I hope it's helping you, but it's really cathartic for me because I'm just pouring out information, and I love sharing information. I love helping people. I love helping people gain a new set of understandings, a new knowledge, a new paradigm, that sort of thing. And so that's why I'm doing the podcast. We also, I like to talk about the pros and cons of each gift. And so the pro is we're motivated to validate truth. We always want to know why, how, when, and where. We want facts, details, and we want those details put in order. That's the pros. Now, here's the cons. This doesn't necessarily apply to me, but some people with this gift, they can be really boring. So that's why I try to spice it up a little bit with my own flair, my own flavor, and that's why I don't edit all my mistakes out of my podcast, because I just want you to know I'm real, and it keeps it more interesting. You can think, okay, what's he going to mess up this time? What's he going to say wrong this time? So anyway, another con is they have to tell you why. They have to tell you why they are qualified to do what they do. They place a lot of importance on degrees and academics. This is the reason why I sought out being certified with the John Maxwell team, because I did not have a degree. I didn't finish school. I went to college at Tarleton State University, but I was paying for it on my own, and I couldn't afford to stay, and so I had to leave college. So I told my wife, I said, if I'm going to have a public speaking business and ministry, I want to have some sort of affirmation. And so that's why I sought out to get this certification. I'm actually looking forward to actually pursuing my degree in theology and gaining a degree in that, because I feel like it validates me to other people. I'm 55 years old at this recording, and I've been in ministry, in and around ministry all my life, been in church all my life, so I know a lot. Just because I've been around, because I'm as inquisitive as I am, I know a lot. However, I feel like that some people don't accept what I'm saying because of the fact that I don't have a degree, or I don't have, you know, so that's why I got the certification. But now I actually want to pursue getting a degree. I actually had a lady tell me that I ought to start a Bible school. I said, well, I can't educate people. She said, well, you do me. You educate me all the time. She said, but the way you explain things makes it easy to understand. And she's been in church all her life. And she said, there are things that I never totally understood until you explained them. She said, you need to start a Bible school. And I don't know. I mean, just to tell you, I'm seriously thinking about it. It's not a degree program. It's just a Bible school, just something so for people to learn. So I'm thinking about that. So anyway, take it for what it's worth. Now, they always give you too much detail. I've tried to learn to guard against this. The more info they can they'll give you more info than you could ever use. And sometimes they have great difficulty communicating practical use of their knowledge. Sometimes. I'm a very practical person, very pragmatic. That's how I approach scripture, is I just read and I say, okay, God, that's good, but how does that apply? How can I work that? And sometimes they can be easily offended or critical. We'll just move on past that. Just a few of the jobs, activities, or things that may be suited for one with the gift of teaching. They can be an editor, either book editors or newspaper editors or whatever. Journalists, they can be in the legal profession, be statisticians. They could be judges or lawyers, psychologists, doctors, a reporter. They can be a researcher because you know, as a rule, most people with this gift love researching, and they're researcher jobs. Scientists, they can work in the technical field. They can be testers, be a quality control or quality assurance. And they can be writers. So these are just some of the things that, it's not an exhaustive list, it's just things that I've kind of compiled. And hopefully, you know, there'd be more that you could come up with. I think I included more in my book, which will be released soon. I don't have an exact date, but it should be released soon on this whole topic. But anyway, that's the gift of the teacher, the teaching gift. And I hope this something that's been really informational to you. You've learned more either about yourself or someone you know, somebody that's close to you. Again, it's always beneficial to learn about ourselves. This is what we're trying to do, to discover ourselves. However, knowing the gifts of others is going to help you to be able to relate to them better and easier. And so we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to accept people for who they are. Once we understand who they are, and that's why I encourage organizations to have all their employees take the assessment in families. Every family member should take this assessment. I don't know what age they should be before they take the assessment, because some of those things, some of the questions, they won't even know what it's talking about. So I don't know. You can be the judge of that. But I think everyone, every organization, every ministry, every company should have its employees take the assessment. At least, you know, have them take the assessment. And if the people in leadership know what each gift is about, then that will help them with each employee. But as much as we can learn about ourselves and learn about others, it's going to be beneficial. And I really believe that this information is pivotal in our life. And you discovering who you are and what you're about, and then you can be more effectively you. Once you understand how the strengths lie, what order they come in, that sort of thing, you can actually, like myself, I've started making life decisions based on my gifts, my motivational gifts, because I get the most fulfillment out of doing this. You don't understand, I'm sitting behind this microphone in this room by myself, and I am just so excited because I'm sharing this information with whoever is listening. And it doesn't matter to me how many people are listening. I want as many people as can to listen to it. That's why I ask for you to help me and share on social media, share the podcast on social media, go to your podcast app and rate it and review it. That way it comes to the top of the search when you rate and review. However much help you can give, if you can just give me some help in getting the news spread about this, I really believe we can change people's lives for the good with this information. All right, well, I've gone on long enough. I look forward to talking to you next week. I'm so excited about this. I'm so, so thankful. Believe me, I'm so thankful that you've taken the time to listen. If you've gotten to this point in the podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I really believe it's going to help enhance your life. And let me know if you'll contact me on social media. Again, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram. Facebook is just James Hooper. On Instagrams, it's James. Instagrams. Instagram is James R. Hooper. James R., the initial R, Hooper. On Twitter, it's James Hooper and the numeral 1, James Hooper 1. And I'm on LinkedIn as well as James Hooper. And so I've got all these platforms that you can reach me on. Connect with me. Let me know what you're thinking, how it's helping you, and that sort of thing. What you like about the podcast, what you don't like about the podcast, what you'd like for me to discuss, because, you know, we're going to go through 7 of the gifts, and then we'll move on to other things, and I'll be speaking about other things. So I probably will do some interview segments. I'm going to try to do some bonus ones and sit down with my wife or with some other people and sit down and do some ones recorded on my phone and while I'm someplace and just really spend some time and maybe send out some bonus episodes. Be looking for those, all right? If you subscribe, you'll not miss them. Please, please, please subscribe so you don't miss it. I try to release these every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, and that way you won't miss it. It'll come right into your podcast app, whatever that is, iTunes, Apple, Google Play, Overcast, whatever podcast app you have. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Discover You podcast with your host, James Hooper. This podcast exists to help you grow both spiritually and personally. If you enjoyed it and think others could benefit from the content provided, please go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a review and rating. This will help others find us more easily. Also, if you haven't already, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you for joining us for the Discover You podcast.